Welcome to Visionaries Global Media, your number one source for podcasting entertainment. Visionaries Global Media, envisioning excellence on a global scale.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to another episode of the Five Rounds Podcast, the only podcast out there with the cardio for those deep water championship rounds. I am Mags, and I have literally just finished watching UFC Fight Night, Barbosa versus Chikadze from the UFC Apex Center. So let's quickly just power through these prelims. So we started the night with Manny Martinez picking up the decision against Guido Canete. In the bantamweight division, then in the featherweight division, we got a first round sub for Pat Sabatini against Jamal Emmers. The women's flyweight division, we get another decision with JJ Aldrich picking up the win over Vanessa Demopoulos. Going into the light heavyweight division, we get a knockout by Dustin Jacoby on Darren Stewart. In the middleweight division, a controversial result with Wellington Turman picking up the split decision over Smiley Sabalva, even though he actually had 2 points deducted in the final round due to eye poking multiple times in that fight. Wellington pushed his fingers into Sam's eyes. And then we ended the prelims with Alicia De Chicaro getting KO'd in 17 seconds by Abdul Razak Hassan. So we on the main card, we had 6 fights, and we opened with Gerald Meerschaert taking on Mahmoud Muradov. And this was your typical kind of a wrestler taking on a striker, with Gerald Meerschaert obviously wanting the fight to go to ground so he can control and dictate the direction of the fight. And there was quite a few times when in the first round he was tagged, and his first thought was to go down to ground and try and get the fight where he feels the most comfortable. But Muradov was not willing to engage on the ground and waited for Meerschaert to get back on his feet, and was really kind of lighting him up, tagging him, clipping him, really wobbling Gerald Meerschaert. And it was really kind of going to be a long day at the office for GM3. And there was a point where he gets a little bit of a reprieve where he accidentally lands a shot to the cup, and Meerschaert collapses down to the canvas. Takes a few minutes to get his bearings and starts getting back to the action. And when they start fighting again, Meerschaert lands a good left hand of his own, follows it up with a high kick, and we see that Muradov is actually wobbled for a little bit but quickly recovers, lands a massive overhead right, with then Meerschaert firing back with some big shots of his own. He ended the round with quite a bit of pressure, but overall Muradov really had a good showing for himself against Meerschaert in this first round. And in this second round, Meerschaert tries to dictate the pace early on and gets landed with a massive right, wobbles him, but he was able to stay upright. Actually, shoot off a kick, a high kick, but that gets blocked. Meerschaert wants to take the fight to the ground because again he's out of his comfort zone here on the feet, but he's just parried away by Muradov, who follows up with a low kick for good measure. Meerschaert goes for the sweep, but is unable to keep him on the ground. And then we just see both guys just absolutely standing and banging, really trying to just beat the brakes off each other. Meerschaert uses this kind of exchange to be able to slip round, take the back, get the fight finally to the floor, and then it's all over. But the shouting for Muradov, Meerschaert is able to trap the arm, mirrored off with Chaz to peel away, but Mayshot is able to get his hands behind the neck, able to squeeze, and Mirrodov, after all the effort he put in the 8 or so minutes of this fight, he has to tap out, and a great kind of comeback victory for Gerald Mayshot there in the middleweight division. Next, we go into Michael Gilmore versus Andre Pretorske. And this is two fighters that both wanted to kind of use their ground game in the first round. We see Pretorske really kind of dominate for the majority of the round. He has 4.5 minutes total ground control in this round, getting the fight to the ground pretty quickly, able to secure that takedown after kicks to the body from Gilmore, and he's just able to just dominate whilst on the ground, staying really heavy, passing from top control to side control, landing punches and knees. There's a point where Gilmore actually gets to his feet, but Pretorske stays with him, lifts him back up, slams him to the canvas, and again, Gilmore tries to escape, and Pretorske gives him the German suplex. Very lucky to not actually smash his own head into the canvas, but yeah, it was a very dominant first round in terms of wrestling and groundwork from Pretorske. Going into the second round, and again, Pretorske was really quite dominant, this time landing more shots on the feet, landing head kicks and straight punches. But you could see that this effort had started to take its toll a little bit on him, and he was taking much more deeper breaths, which gave Gilmore a little bit more of a chance to maybe get some offense of his own in. He doesn't follow up on it though, and there's a point where Pretorske slips on a kick, and Gilmore just allows him to stand, and he's more content to just be on the outside, kind of just evading shots and waiting for a counter. Pretorske would carry on throwing those kicks just to get the range, and then powering forward with the hands, and Gilmore started to counter a little bit, landing some kicks of his own, some shots of his own. There's a big left hand for Pretorske, which is countered by Gilmore, who tries to land a left of his own, but Pretorske ducks and is able to drag the fight to the floor. Gets a side control, then starts with the knee on the belly. A little bit too late for any real kind of a dominance on the floor, but it's just another case of Pretorske able to control Gilmore when the action goes to the floor. Coming into the third round, again, Pretorske tries to dominate the centre of the octagon, landing shots, goes in for a takedown pretty much straight away, gets side control. Gilmore actually tries to get hold of Pretorske's neck, is unable to really kind of lock it in, and then Pretorske steps over to mount, pops his head out of the submission attempt, gets Gilmore's head up against the cage, which means is not enough room to defend. Pretorske with a couple of those body shots to confuse and kind of distract his opponent, is trying to essentially turn Michael Gilmore over so he can get the take his back and get the rear naked choke, but Gilmore is able to roll and create a little bit of space, only for Pretorske to just shove him down to the ground again and get back into mounted position. Gilmore, he's really struggling to stand up, but the huge weight difference between him and Pretorske is really weighing down on Michael Gilmore. Pretorske then starts targeting the left arm, wraps it around the face, pounding away with elbows. Looks like we're getting a submission, but the referee Jason Herzog stops the fight due to the punches, and Andrea Petroski picks up the TKO victory. So then going into the third fight on this main card, Kevin Lee taking on Daniel Rodriguez. Kevin Lee making his return to welterweight, looking for a little bit more success perhaps than he had in his last run there. Unfortunately for him, he doesn't get it. He loses this fight by unanimous decision, 29-28 all way, pretty much across the board. His best round was probably the first round. He landed some really good shots. He was the one who set the pace, landing good shots to the body, firing high kicks. Rodriguez did land some shots of his own, but when Rodriguez was kind of formulating some offense, Kevin Lee was able to slip inside, get the single leg, and get the ground fight to the ground. He wasn't really able to do much damage from the position he was in, with having the shoulder pressure and Rodriguez trapping him in half guard. But the round ends with Kevin Lee on top, and I think that kind of may have given Kevin Lee a little bit of a boost, thinking that this fight was pretty much in the bag. Unfortunately for him, Daniel Rodriguez is a very wily fighter, and he proved that coming into the second round. He landed a hell of a lot more shots here. His volume really, really turned up. Kevin Lee again went for the takedown when he was taking damage, but this time it was sprawled. Kevin Lee able to get the takedown on the second attempt though, and whilst Kevin Lee tried to get back control, Rodriguez was able to spin with him and take top control. This caused Kevin Lee to panic a little bit, and the fight returns back to the feet, and we see Rodriguez chopping away at the legs, landing a lot of straights, which kind of really hurts Kevin Lee to the point where he's wobbled, drops to the canvas. Rodriguez goes to follow up, and Kevin Lee, using that kind of muscle memory wrestling base that he's got, grabs hold of one of Rodriguez's legs for dear life to stop essentially being KO'd by Daniel. He's able to work his way around and survive till the klaxon. So we get a third round. And again, in this third, both guys coming out really to press the pace, and both landing some huge shots. Kevin Lee throws a kick, which is caught by Rodriguez, and then he's followed up with a nice left-hand right-hand combination. Kevin Lee eats those shots, and he reacts pretty well. But it's here where Rodriguez starts to really chop at the legs, landing some huge haymaker shots as well. Kevin Lee again, as he did in the last two rounds, he sensed the danger, went to shoot for the takedown, didn't get it again. We got this sprawl, but eventually Kevin Lee, using that wrestling base, is able to finally get the fight to the ground, but not for long. Rodriguez quickly up on his feet. Lee is led on his back. Rodriguez is grinding his way in the clinch on the floor, able to pull away. Very kind of a nervy position for Rodriguez to be in, but he's able to get back out. We see a flying knee from Kevin Lee, which totally misses, and then we see Rodriguez just landing jab after jab after jab. Lee shoots in, and this time it's a really, really well-timed sprawl. No way that this is going back to the ground. Rodriguez landing some big shots. Kevin Lee tries an interesting tactic of dropping his hands to bait Rodriguez into firing more, which doesn't really work that much because he gets hit a lot more. Coming to the end of the round, Kevin Lee throws a huge high kick which just misses, and then the klaxon goes for the end of the fight, and the judges all give it 29-28 to Daniel Rodriguez. So again, Kevin Lee unsuccessful on his dalliance with the welterweight division. So next we've got the first of our Ultimate Fighter finals, this one in the bantamweight division. Brady Hardstand taking on Ricky Tercios, and we get a little bit of a promo package between the two. This one ends up being a split decision, a very close fight, but Ricky Tercios picking up the victory. First round, I think it was probably Brady Hardstand's best round. Very fast paced from both guys. Both guys really wanted to make their mark on this bantamweight division. Really kind of light each other up. Plenty of good wrestling, plenty of good scrambling, and some big shots from both fighters. Really talented submission attempts by Hardstand, and submission defense by Ricky Tercios as well. Really talented, high level skills, and I think it just shows how much MMA has evolved. That these guys are coming through from the Ultimate Fighter with very well rounded ground and on the feet games. So coming into the second, again another kind of razor thin decision. This round could have gone either way. Both fighters really wanted to engage well. Again, it goes to ground pretty quickly, with Hardstand shooting for the takedown after being able to stuff a takedown on Tercios. This one doesn't stay on the ground as much. There's a lot more kind of on the feet action, with Ricky Tercios really turning up his output, landing more kicks and more hooks. He's able to land some big shots, which forces Hardstand to go for more takedowns. Gets into side control, but he's not able to keep Ricky Tercios down as long as he did. He attempts to go for the neck and the guillotine, which are both not there. Looks for the triangle, again not there. We see Tercios get back to his feet, land some more shots, and again, like I said, this was a very razor tart round, could have been given anywhere. And again, same with the third round. These two really brought it and really wanted to make a statement. There's some big rights from Tercios, which hurts Hardstand. Tercios tried to press the pace and score some big points. Hardstand wanted to, desperation, go for a takedown, which he ends up getting. Tercios is able to force himself with his back to the cage to defend any attempts at submission. The fight ends up getting back to the feet, and again we see Ricky Tercios kind of working from the outside. Hardstand really increased his output in this round, throwing a lot more punches, and we see that he's actually took some big shots, and he started bleeding from the nose, and that kind of peps up Ricky Tercios, and he starts pressing now, throwing big shots. Hardstand with a flying knee which just barely misses. About a minute to go, we see Hardstand go for his ground game again, but the takedown is stuffed, and then we just see 30-40 seconds of just standing and banging by the both guys. Great fight, really kind of impressive by both, but there has to be a winner, and Ricky Tercios is your bantamweight the Ultimate Fighter 29 tournament winner. So going into the co-main event and the second of our the Ultimate Fighter finals, this time is in the middleweight division. Brian Battle, Brian Pooh Bear Battle, as his nickname is, taking on Gilbert Urbina. And this was this one didn't go the distance, but it was surely still a very interesting fight. So these two wanted to beat the living piss out of each other, landing huge shots. Urbina landed a big shot very early on, and you could see that Brian Battle was hurt. Urbina then picks him up and slams him to the floor, really kind of just forcing the air out of his chest. Brian Battle is able to survive and get back to a seated position. We get a tease of a guillotine, which is not there. Brian Battle trying to work his way back to the feet, but he's quickly dragged back down by Gilbert Urbina. Urbina starts really laying in punches. We see that Brian Battle is able to force his way from the floor back onto the feet, but his mouthpiece is thrown from the cage. It literally comes out of his mouth and flies out of the cage. Because it's clear, Herb Dean didn't see it leaving the cage, and the commissioner ends up tossing it back in as the fight carried on. Brian Battle, it seems to have kind of woke up a little bit from that horrific beating he took in the early stage, and started really swinging back. Urbina takes the fight to the ground again, and we see that Brian Battle is again having to defend himself up against the fence. We see some knees from both guys, shots landed in the clinch. Brian Battle ends up pulling away and landing some shots from range. Urbina with some tidy elbows, and then we see that Brian Battle finally gets his mouthpiece back when he's sat down at the end of the stool. Coming into the second round, and Brian Battle knows he's got an uphill battle to, pardon the pun, to do, and he comes out swinging, landing some really nice tidy leg kicks. Gilbert is still moving well, and he's got some power, especially in that right hand. He lands a huge shot, goes for the takedown, but this time Battle is able to defend the takedown, but we see Urbina using that as a way to get to take the back. He tries to jump onto Brian Battle's back, kind of like almost in a backpack position, but it's not there, and we see Brian Battle really defending that pretty well. Urbina sees that it's not going to work, lets it go, and starts landing more shots. But Battle seems to be, he seems to have a much harder chin in this round. Ends up countering with his own takedown, gets the back, locks in the choke, and Urbina is in a world of trouble. You see him trying to pull the hands away from the neck. See that Brian Battle has again lost his mouthpiece. He really needs to kind of get the right equipment for his mouth, but he locks in this rear naked choke. Urbina is unable to escape, and he ends up getting the tap. It looked like the squeeze wasn't exactly on the neck, and was perhaps more of a almost like a face lock, but they still hurt as much, and Brian Battle is your middleweight Ultimate Fighter 29 champion. So let's get into this main fight, Edson Barbosa versus Jika Chikadze, both amazing featherweight fighters. Edson Barbosa, an absolute legend in these streets, and Jiga Chikadze unbeaten in his UFC career, 6-0 going into this fight, 13-2, the kind of fighter that everybody really wants to avoid in the UFC's featherweight division. He's been pushing for a title shot for quite a long time, and just doesn't seem to be able to get it, so a win for him would really kind of solidify that position. And for Edson, it would be kind of a return to glory after a stop-start career recently in his UFC career, but we opened the first fight, and these two guys are known for kicking. Edson Barboza, someone who's legitimately TKO'd people with leg kicks. He's just that brutal. And Giga Chikadze does the same kind of thing. He's known as the person who kicks the shit out of people. So we're going to see a hell of a lot of kicks to the body, kicks to the legs, high kicks. And these two guys do not disappoint. But what they also do bring is things like flying knees. And we see Chikadze attempting a couple of those in the first round. We also see he's got a very good attack with his jabs as well and his rights. So this first round is very much a tit for tat, with Chikadze probably landing the better shots, probably landing the harder kicks. He's able to land spinning kicks, and like I said, he threw the flying knee. Going into the second, Barboza coming out a little bit more aggressive, but that plays into Chikadze's game, and he's able to land more of those outside low leg kicks. He's able to switch stances quite freely, landing lefts then rights, hard kicks to the body. Barboza landed some big kicks of his own, scored with some huge right hands to really kind of put this round certainly as a pick'em in the judges' eyes. Really kind of opened up more than he did in the first round, and for me he probably took this second round with landing some big digs to the body to close up, and some of those gorgeous leg kicks that he's well known for. Chikadze certainly held his own in the second round, but I think this was more Barboza showing exactly what he could do. Going into the third round, we see that Barboza's actually got some damage over his eye. Again, he comes out the more aggressive, landing jabs, firing knees. Chikadze lands a huge right, though, and you can see that Barboza is rocked. Chikadze follows up, lands digs to the body, and then we see another right hand, this time by Barboza, which kind of staggers Chikadze. He's able to get the fight to the ground, though, and get a top position. Barboza goes for the ankle pick. It's not there, but that forces Chikadze to rethink his strategy of getting the sub. He pulls away, allows Edson Barboza to get back up, lands some big punches on the way up, tries to go for the choke, but sees it's not there. Both fighters then return to the feet, and just as Edson Barboza is back on his two feet, Chikadze lands a huge right, staggers Barboza. Chikadze goes for the walk-off. The referee absolutely agrees. Barboza may have been on his feet, but the lights were on, but there was certainly nobody at home. And Chikadze gets another hallmark victory, 3 knockouts in a row. And in his post-fight press conference, he actually called out Max Holloway, knowing that he's probably not next in line for a title shot, which is ridiculous now. I mean, you don't go 7-0 beating the kind of fighters that Chikadze's beat, the likes of Cub Swabs and the likes of Edson Barboza, and not be in the mix for a title picture. But it is very kind of stacked at the top of that division, and there's a lot of congestion. So a fight with Max Holloway absolutely makes sense for me. Anyway, that's fight now, Barboza versus Chikadze, all wrapped up now. Next week we've got an early showing for us in the UK, 9 o'clock main card for us. This time headlined by Derek Brunson and Darren Till in the middleweight division. Darren Till looking to really cement his position in the middleweight division. Kind of been at the top of the card in a couple of divisions now, but just fell at the final hurdle, and he's looking to be a champion and really push for a title shot in the very, very near future. And then in the co-main event, we've got Tom Aspinall taking on Sergey Spivak. Spivak taking this match on a pretty short notice. But the more interesting fight for myself and Carlos is the debut of Paddy Pimblett, the Cage Warriors champion, the Scouser. Everybody in the UK loves Paddy Pimblett, so definitely listen along next week to find out how he goes in his debut against Luigi Vendramina. But that's all from me, Mags. You can follow me on Twitter at PodfatherMags. Follow Carlos at Kirby_Carlos. And definitely go and check out the rest of the content on the amazing networks we're part of here at Visionaries Global Media, at The Chair Shot, and right here on Radio Techers. Thank you all for listening, and that is the end.
Welcome to Visionaries Global Media, your number one source for podcasting entertainment. Visionaries Global Media, envisioning excellence on a global scale.